Well, if you remember, on Friday, on this very program, we talked to a doctor about marathon running, and we asked if it was maybe more dangerous than people think. And we were wondering this because this weekend was the New York Marathon and the U.S. Marathon, the U.S. Olympic Marathon trials happening here in New York. And eerily enough, somebody did die, but it wasn't one of the 39,000 weekend warriors who ran in the regular marathon. It was a seemingly very healthy 28-year-old guy named Ryan Shea, who is considered one of the best marathoners in America. Shea was running in the Olympic trials when he collapsed after just 5.5 miles. Ambie Burfoot was at that race on Saturday. He's the executive editor of Runner's World magazine, also the winner of the 1968 Boston Marathon. Hi, Ambie.
Hi, good morning.
So what was the scene like there on Saturday when Ryan Shea collapsed?
Well, we didn't know about it for a couple of hours, the runners and those of us covering the race in the press room. But, of course, once we learned about it, it just cast a real tragic pall over the race. There were tears everywhere. I'm almost tearing up now. I have known Ryan since 2003, purely in a journalistic way. But he was a wonderful, terrific, hardworking kid.
I was reading up on him today, and he was in college. He had a 4.0, and he just seemed like, you know, he couldn't have been a more with-it guy. Is there anything about him as a runner? What can you tell us about him?
He was not quite at the level of the guys who qualified for the team on Saturday morning. He was about one stride behind them. But I will say this, when he won the National Marathon Championship in 2003, which he did, he was the first young college runner to come out of college and attack the marathon among the U.S. runners in 20 years. And so he was a kind of the predecessor to the two fabulous runners who won the trials on Saturday morning, Ryan Hall and Dathan Ritzenhain. He really showed the way that young runners could succeed in this event.
Have you ever seen anything like this, a seemingly healthy, highly trained athlete just sort of, you know, collapsing like that?
Well, collapsing and dying are two very different things. Mm-hmm. He's the first elite marathoner that any of us know who has died during a race. Obviously, there are millions of people running marathons these days, some in good shape and some, frankly, not so good, and people do die. It's just a mathematical certainty once you've got millions of people out there. But he's the first truly elite athlete who has died of a cardiac event during a marathon.
So who did win, and what does that mean for the U.S.'s chances in Beijing?
Well, Ryan Hall ran perhaps the most sensational race that I have ever seen in my life, and I've been following...
Yeah, you've seen a few.
I've seen a few. I've been following the sport for 40 years, and he took off and ran the second half of the course faster than anyone would have believed it possible to run. He also ran several sensational performances in the spring of this year, and now he goes right to the front of the pack. As young as he is, he has to be considered an actual gold medal candidate when he gets to Beijing.
Okay, the other big running event of the weekend was the New York City Marathon. I presume you watched that as well. What do you think was interesting about that?
Well, what was interesting about that was the competitive level of both races. You know, when I started running marathons, someone would break away in the middle and win the race by a mile. These days, you're likely to win it by inches at the end. And that's more or less what both races were. We were all incredibly interested to see if Paula Radcliffe could come all the way back from childbirth to become a winner again.
She ran by me on 4th Avenue, and I was standing with some of my friends. A couple of them are women who have recently had children. And I said, she had a baby a year ago. And they just looked at me like, shut up.
Yes.
They were so mad.
Comment was around a lot. She is a brilliant full-time professional athlete. She's never lost a marathon that she has finished. She dropped out in Athens, but she's won every other marathon. Yesterday looked incredibly tough to me, a real battle. And yet when she got before the press, she said, oh, that was fun. I enjoyed being back on the racing scene again.
Oh, wow. for people who are watching this marathon and all of a sudden are inspired and they're thinking to themselves, I want to do that. I want to go after an accomplishment like that. Realistically, how long does it take the average person in average physical shape to prepare for something like the New York Marathon or the Boston Marathon, which you won?
Yes, that's a terrific question, and it's hard for any of us to define all the averages that you just said. But these races are great inspiration, and one of the inspirations is not just the winners, but the guys in the middle of the pack who look fairly average, and in fact they are. They have simply trained themselves to be able to do it. If you're in reasonably good health, not a lot overweight, you get a quick checkup with your doctor, you can find any number of coaches around, internet training programs, great books. Most of the programs for a first-timer will ask you to start training for 6 months. You'll start by walking a lot and then running more and then getting to the point where you can slowly, progressively, healthfully build up to the distance.
You won the Boston Marathon in 1968, and I guess I just wondered as I was watching the end of the race yesterday, what goes through your mind when you're leading in one of these giant marathons and it's like mile 25? Are you feeling any pain in your body, or is it just like you're so excited that you're winning?
No, you're feeling both physical and mental pain. Physical pain is obvious from the distance you covered. The mental pain, at least for me, was the nagging thought, oops, what if I made my move too soon? What if there's somebody coming up fast behind me? So I think the smart runners don't begin celebrating until they've crossed the finish line, and I know that was true for the winners yesterday.
The men's winner was a guy named Martin Lell of Kenya. Tell me a little bit about his race.
He ran a terrific race. It was a very erratic pace yesterday because the New York Roadrunners have eliminated rabbits or pace setters in their events. So that means there were some spirited emotional surges back and forth during the race. He covered all the surges. He stayed with the leaders, and he made his move at exactly the right time. He's now clearly the best competitive marathoner in the world. He's won a number of big races in London, which has a great race, and here in New York. And he will be a favorite going into Beijing as well.
And is he the guy who already won $500,000?
No, he didn't win the World Marathon.
Who won that?
He's ahead for the next round of it. But Geta Wami, who finished second in the women's race, will get the $500,000.
And this is this sort of scoring system based on a bunch of the top marathons, and based on how you finish, you can win this overall prize of $500,000.
It's five marathons over 2 years. A marathoner obviously can't go out every weekend like a golfer or a tennis pro. They take 6 months to recover and get ready for their next race. So that's why it lasts 2 years.
Well, except Geta, who apparently ran one 35 days ago.
She did. She is absolutely remarkable, and it probably was the difference between winning and losing yesterday's race, but it did ensure that she was winning the $500,000, so it was worth it.
That's why she had a sort of sly smile on her face as she cruised in at second place.
That's exactly right.
All right, Ambie. Ambie Burfoot is executive editor at Runner's World Magazine. And winner of the 1968 Boston Marathon. I can't say that enough because it's so impressive.
Thank you guys very much.
Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, drama in professional football and college football. Some historic losses to talk about.
We're going to talk to your husband because you guys only spent every hour of the weekend together.
It's true.
Time for you to reunite.
I know a lot about SportsCenter.
That's coming up on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.